Well, everybody, welcome to episode 92 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, is brought to you by the Ankeny office of Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is a proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we're back tonight with our first podcast in 3 weeks, and we're recording from the shelter insurance office of Hot Rod Brandon, who I'm sure will be anxious to tell us about all the excitement they had over here the other night. We will be getting most of the Rodcast crew together here in a little bit, but we do have a few other guests lined up first. We'll be talking about some of the all-time Ankeny teams that we've been putting together for Ankeny Fanatic, as well as a few other topics. My first guest tonight is making his third appearance on the podcast. He is one of my go-to guys when it comes to basketball because he was a longtime assistant boys coach at Ankeny, and he knows the game about as well as anybody. He is Dave Kissinger. Kiss, how you doing?
Very good. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. Well, before we talk some basketball, I just wanted to get your quick thoughts on where we are with the coronavirus. When I talked to you back during the state tournament and all the stuff was just starting to unfold, you told me that you weren't scared of going to the games or of catching the virus. You know, has your approach to life changed at all since then? Or are you trying to take some more precautions right now?
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to stay home a little bit more, although I also like to be away from home for events like this and some of these kind of things. I was very, very wrong about that. You know, it has caused changes in all our lives. And, you know, as the new normal comes, we don't know what that's going to be. So we're going to continue to have these changes. It's very sad to see young people lose opportunities that they would have had at the end of the year, whether it's spring season, the summer season, the way the basketball season had then. But, you know, that's just part of life. We don't get to choose all the good things and bad things that happen to us.
Well, looking back on it now, you know, we had that podcast the Wednesday at the state tournament. I remember talking to you about it and Coach Carlson, you know, because a lot of other things were being canceled. And I really wondered the next day if the rest of the tournament was even going to be played. And looking back on it now, I'm surprised that they even got to play, aren't you?
Well, you know, they went that deep. And I think because of the fact the girls got to finish and then we had some of the same elements that were brought to the forefront when the girls were finishing up, too. So I think they wanted to get it in. And the fact that they only allowed 100 people in, regardless, you know, you got 100 for your school, whether that was your team, your coaches, cheerleaders, whatever. You know, that basically covers about that entire group, and that's it. So, but we had the opportunity to see it, and of course, you know, Cody McCullough had a tremendous performance for Centennial, and the entire Ankeny Hawks team had a great performance to win the state championship.
Well, let's talk some hoops. I know I consulted with you as well as some of the other former coaches when I put together the all-time Ankeny boys team, you know, so I hope I got it mostly right. But I know doing that project brought back a lot of memories for me. You know, did you enjoy reading about some of those players from the distant past, and did it bring back some memories for you as well?
Yes. I have the list of 20 people in front of me, and I got to see those individuals. I got to see in person all but Ray Fontana and Barney Allman. I did get to see Mike Justice. I went to Urbandale High School, and I got to watch them play Ankeny, and of course the ones since then. And we've been very, very fortunate. We've had great basketball, both boys and girls basketball in Ankeny, and as a result, we've had a lot of young people who have brought themselves attention by the leading their team and also by what they did individually. You know, and so I congratulate you on all of the teams you've done for all of the various sports. You know, I have tremendous memories with I looked and I did have the opportunity at some level, whether it be, at the high school level, sophomore level, ninth grade level, eighth grade level, or just in different clinics, to coach 12 of those, you know, the gentlemen that are listed on your four teams. And it brings back great memories.
Oh, I'm sure.
It would be interesting to know. Your team represents 70 years of Ankeny boys basketball. It'd be interesting to know what the record is for the compilation for those 70 years.
Yeah, I'm sure it's pretty good.
Yep.
They don't have too many losing seasons. So.
No.
Well, initially for the boys, I was only going to do three teams of five players each. But when I first came up with those teams, I wasn't sure if anybody from those really good teams from 2010 to 12 was going to make it. And I really wanted those teams to be represented because especially that 11-12 team that went 25-1, you know, might arguably be the best team in school history. So by going to a fourth team, I ended up having Ted Friedman on the third team and then Grant Lang, who was on the 10-11 team that also got third in the state. He made the fourth team. You know, and there still wasn't room for the Myers twins, who might have been the toughest omission on the list. So how do you think, Pete's team from those two seasons would match up with the two Yankee teams that, did win titles?
A lot of it deals with the matchups. And first of all, the team that won in 95, just very, very similar to this year's teams, and they really, really shot the ball well. They played defense well. They were not very big, but they out-rebounded everybody at the state tournament they played against. And you've got to be hot when you go down there. You have to catch some breaks. You know, one of the things that happened to that 95 team in the first round game, they were struggling. I think we played Iowa City West, and missed free throws allowed us to stay in the game. And then we took that game right at the end, and we were just very, very hot. And watching this year's team of Ankeny Hawks play was very similar to watching that 1995 team, I thought.
Yeah, I think those two teams are very similar. It would have been fun to watch, you know, those two teams, you know, match up.
Right.
I think the team, you know, from those 11, 12 years that had the Myers twins, as well as Grant Lang, Connor Schabel, and, of course, Ted Friedman in the middle, you know, if you match them up with both the championship teams, you know, the Myers twins could match up with the guards.
Right.
You know, of course, Ted would cause a problem in the middle. So, I mean, I think they definitely could match up with, you know, those teams.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, I mentioned that it was tough to leave the Myers twins off the teams. You know, are there any other guys that you can think of off the top of your head, you know, that would have been right there with those guys on the third or fourth teams?
I think you've done a very good job. One of the things, quite obviously, the further back we go, both you and my knowledge of it and the other people that you consulted, there are people that may have had the opportunity to be on an all-state team. But you got to remember, when I graduated from high school in 1966, this was two class. So there may have been, you know, so the opportunity to be an all-stater was much more reduced than the opportunity now. You know, back then, if my mind is right, I think most of the time there were five teams of all-staters recognized by the Des Moines Register and Tribune. When you're talking 25 people, when Ray Fontana played, and along with his brothers, there were 600 schools in the state of Iowa played basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the possibility of going to the tournament three times. You're one of 16 out of 600 schools. You know, and that's the game's really changed, and the game's changed in regards to the fact that, you know, I think in the 70s we started seeing the kids coming in the summer for the summer camps, and then they started having team camps, and then they have travel teams. All when I was young, a lot of times your chance to play basketball was from late October through February. Now they can play basketball year-round, organized basketball. They travel. Many of these kids look at their schedule, at the high school schedule, and say, "Oh, we play no one out of state," because they're so used to traveling out of state. So the opportunities for them to learn to develop their skills are much different than they were years, you know, quite obviously 70 years ago. But even throughout the 50s, the 60s, and even the early 70s.
Sure. Well, I didn't necessarily, you know, build the teams like you would a normal team with two forwards, two guards, and a center, but the first two teams were actually pretty balanced in that regard.
Right.
The third team, though, was not, because you know, a team that includes Joel Schreiner, Pat Dunsmore, Kyle Crow, Ted Friedman, and Cody McCullough would not have any guards on it. So I'm not sure who would bring the ball up the court, you know,
you aren't going to get any offensive rebounds either.
That's right. So, yeah, I don't see those five guys playing together or not. But well, we did talk a little about the boys' team on our last podcast, because that team came out the same day that we did the podcast. But since then, we've also posted the all-time teams in girls' basketball, wrestling, and boys' swimming. So I'm sure you looked through all those teams, Kiss. But I wanted to get your thoughts on the girls' team as well. You know, man, what can you say about the rich tradition this town has in girls' basketball? I put together both a six-player and a five-player team. You know, and the names on that list, you know, are just incredible. You know, this town's been pretty lucky to have two coaches like Dick Rasmussen and Scott Young, hasn't it?
Absolutely, no question. And, and many of those young ladies that had the opportunity to go on also and be involved at coaching and teaching at some level with other students. Personally, I think the number one athlete that came out of our community is Connie Yori.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she would have been a tremendous high school 5-on-5 player. You know?
Oh, for sure.
You know, you stop and think, and we had young ladies that in 6-on-6 had the opportunity to excel because of the fact that they got to play just defense, didn't have to worry about scoring. But many of the athletes that we had excelled because of the fact that they had the great coaching. When they went into a ball game, they were very well prepared for whatever the opponent was going to throw at them. I ask you to look at Rass's last state championship team, the class of 1989. They beat an Atlantic team, which won the state championship the next year by about 20 or 30 points. They beat them about 30 points, and their three guards, I think, all three guards made one of the all-state teams. And Atlantic just couldn't run anything. Anything that you could do three on three, Ankeny could defend.
Well, Ankeny's only been playing the five-player game since the mid-90s, but you look at that, you know, the talent that has come through, well, since then. You got Maddie Manning, Nikki Wieben, Christina Voss, Erica Juno, Tracy Jones, and that was the five-player first team that we had.
Right.
You know, most towns would be lucky to produce even one of those players in a 25-year span. You know, and this town has produced a whole team of them. You know, that'd be a fun team to watch play. But of those five girls, who do you think would be the alpha dog on that team?
Erica Juno. Tremendous leader, very, very tough, would get everybody else involved, great defensive player. And just like I think if you got the first team together with the boys, Ryan Sears, because he would run the show. Everybody would get, you know, as Bayless drove to the baskets and had tremendous success this year, we wouldn't need to worry so much about that because of the fact that we'd have Ray Fontana, we'd have Jay Block and Todd Sears inside. But I would look at the point guards, both females and males, to run to be the alpha dog as such and to run them.
I think Maddie Manning might give her a run for the money, though. I mean, she was kind of a vocal player. The other three kids weren't so much, but Maddie was quite the competitor, too.
Yeah.
Well, Kiss, it's been fun to reminisce with you a little bit. Thanks a lot for coming in tonight.
All right. Thank you very much. Hey, thank you for all your hard work and continue. You are the source of information for this community in regards especially to high school athletics and what's going on.
Well, thanks,
Kiss. Continue the good work.
Appreciate it.
You bet.
All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest's premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right. Well, my next guest is a longtime assistant football and wrestling coach at Ankeny Centennial. And before that, he held the same positions at Ankeny under Jerry Pizzetti and Dave Ewing. He was one of the 28 wrestlers named to Ankeny Fanatics all-time wrestling team, so I thought it'd be fun to hear about some of his memories on the wrestling mat. He's Mike Fontana. Mike, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, we are drinking a couple beers tonight. I'm drinking some Shock Tops. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Copper Cat by Fire Trucker.
I haven't tried that one, but I do like some of his other beers. They got some good stuff.
It's their Moscow Mule.
Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations on being named to the all-time team. You know, did you get any feedback from some of your friends on that?
Oh, not really. Just that some asked why I wasn't first team, and I just said Shane Spooner was a state champ. And there's lots of good heavyweights, you know, throughout Ankeny over the years, which feeds off a good football program.
Sure. Well, yeah, unfortunately, there wasn't room on the team for all of the great wrestlers in Ankeny history. We put seven other guys on the honorable mention list, including Sean Alexander, Steve Young, and John Ware, three of the guys that you helped coach. You know, do you think we got the teams mostly right, though?
I thought you did a great job.
Oh, thanks.
I didn't hear much feedback in a negative manner at all.
Good.
You're always going to make somebody not happy, but that's just par for the course.
Sure. Well, the first team, of course, was comprised of Ankeny's 14 state champion wrestlers, and most of those guys were able to slot in pretty nicely with the current weight classifications that are used by the IHSAA. You know, there's a lot of studs in that list, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. There was. And I still think maybe one guy I thought could have been on the first team was Ben Monroe. Just because of his accolades and his number of wins might not ever get beat in Ankeny.
Right.
I don't know. 161 wins is a lot of wins.
Well, if he'd won a state title, it would have been we would have got him on there somehow.
I know. Yeah.
Well, you know, you helped coach some of those champions like Colby Getch and Topher Ewing, but you worked even more closely with a couple of the upper weights like Ross Larson and Shane Spooner. So I want to ask you specifically about those guys. Ross had one of the greatest high school seasons ever in his senior year here. You know, what are some of your memories of coaching him? He was just a beast, wasn't he?
Yeah, first of all, about those two, they're extremely, extremely good athletes, not just wrestlers. Ross was a three-sport athlete and excelled in all three, and Shane was a four-sport, which you don't see much of anymore. And they all excelled in both. Ross was just he was a pinning machine. He pinned some studs. He pinned his way through almost through the state tournament.
Right. Well, I think 38 of his 43 wins that year were by pins, and all the first period. So that's just incredible.
I think he had, outside the pins, I think they were either Tech Falls or maybe one major decision. If he wasn't going to pin you, he's going to beat the crap out of you.
Yeah. Now, did you know when he came here from Ballard Huxley how good he was going to be?
Yeah. I watched him at Ballard. I saw him at the old Eagle Grove Invitational, and knew him as a youth wrestler, too. And like I said, knew his through his youth athletic career.
Well, I remember Coach Ewing telling me back in those days that you guys during drills, you'd have him practice. You know, like, you know, one guy would wrestle with him for a minute, and then immediately another guy would come wrestle with him for a minute. Another guy try to tire him out and just work his ass off, basically. But he could handle that, couldn't he?
Yeah, I was smart enough to stay away from him. I dealt with Joel Lanning and Quigley and those type of guys, but I was always there. You know, Ross for like. Ross and I were pretty close, and it came like pump-up type stuff. And yeah. Ross played defensive end for me, too.
Sure.
So.
Well, then as far as Spooner goes, you mentioned that he played four sports. You know, I mean, he played football, baseball, competed in track. He eventually played for the Iowa Barnstormers. You know, he was kind of a freak, too, wasn't he?
Shane was, I think, I thought about this on the way up here. Shane was a three-year starter in football, all-conference. He was three-year starter in baseball. I don't remember what he did as far as awards, but he start 3 years at Ankeny in baseball. He got third and first in wrestling, and he was, I think, fifth and second in the shot put.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know he had like a 61-match winning streak in wrestling, yeah. Which at that level, that's pretty impressive.
He was a pinner as well. He was out for blood every time he stepped on the mat.
Well, let's talk about your wrestling career a little bit. Now, if I remember right, you wrestled in junior high, but then in your junior year, you actually went to a preseason meeting for basketball because you were going to go out for that sport, you know, right? So can you tell that story?
Yeah, one of my old coaches, Kiss, sitting right here. yeah, I was always a physical type guy, and I had a chance, some trouble with fouls in basketball. But I scored some points.
You did. We played on a rec league team together that one year. You could play in the middle.
Me and you and Jason Lutz, I remember.
Yeah.
I kept trying to get outside in the wing, and Lutz got mad at me.
Yeah.
Because I had a Larry Bird set shot. Still do. These guys are laughing at me. I you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I still walk out in basketball practice and challenge the basketball players at free throw contest. And my brother gets pissed. I don't know if he gets pissed because I interrupt practice or I shoot free throws better than them, one or the other.
Yeah.
and when they miss free throws in basketball games, I remind him of that shit.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask him the next time he's on. So.
What's that, Kiss?
You can tell who was absent from camp that one day.
Oh, yeah. One day? Oh, one day at basketball camp, Kiss asked me who was missing. I said, Johnny Gosch. You're probably going to take this off.
You didn't just say that.
Oh. And well, let's get back to your wrestling. So
I was a smart-ass junior high kid then. Yeah, back to my wrestling. Let's go.
So you went to the basketball meeting, then you decided to go out for wrestling. So that first year you went to state, and then the second year you were 23-0 going into that state championship match against Brian Baroda of Clinton, who eventually pulled out the win in overtime. You know, do you still think about that match frequently?
Oh, yeah, I do a lot. And, you know, more – when it goes away, goes away, goes away, somebody will bring something up about it. And this year, I didn't have one thought of it, but this guy started posting on Twitter, Pin Doctors. He started posting old matches from the finals, and he posted mine on Twitter. And my coaches, Coach Hildreth, Coach Groth, Nate Smith, they started razzing me big time, man. But, oh well.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Well, now, Baroda's victory allowed the River Kings to edge Dowling for the team title, and you told me that if you had won the match, you know, the Maroons would have captured the state championship. And I know Dowling has always been one of Ankeny's and now Centennial's biggest rivals. So, Mike, tell me the truth. You didn't throw the match, did you?
No. But I remember Bob Darrow walking up to me before the match, like, giving me a little what up and rubbing up on me about what my match meant. And I was kind of like, you know, at the time, you know, get away from me. But Bob's he's a legend, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He rests his soul. He's a great coach, great, great mentor for the sport. But I remember that specifically. And now Dan Knight, he's a coach for Bentendorf.
Mm-hmm.
He, whenever we see them, he reminds me of it once in a while.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
Well, at some point, Mike will probably be doing an all-time Ankeny football team as well, and that's going to be a tremendous chore. I'll probably get some input from you as far as the offensive linemen, because it's going to be hard to compare linemen from one era to another, especially when you don't really have any stats to go by.
Yeah.
But man, when you think about all the great football players that have come through here, you know, Lanning, Brodell, Spidzik, Gibson, Leverins, I mean, the list just goes on, not to mention all those great kickers. I mean, that's going to be a heck of a team, isn't it?
That'll be a tough one to pick. I think it'll be the toughest one to pick yet. I think the basketball one might have been really hard for you. But I think the football one with our tradition and the years that Jerry's been here and the players we've had, I think it'll be a tough one. Especially my brother Bob and I, some of these kids now talk about, you know, the great linebackers we've had like in the last 4, 5, 6 years here, 7 years. You mentioned Spitzik, Gibson, Leverins. They ask, who's that? And I was like, because you don't know. You know, and we've had some great ones in the last 6, 8, 10 years. We mentioned those guys' names, and all three of the guys I mentioned, you guys know this, they won't boast about themselves. I mean,
right.
Dennis Gibson don't have one picture in his restaurant about himself.
Right.
But those guys were, you know, back, late 70s, early 80s.
Right. Well, it's good that Jerry's been here so long, because he can probably, you know, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
He knows everybody that's played since 69, I think. So.
If you ever get him on a podcast, you're doing... You're doing wonders.
Oh, yeah. He's been on a couple of times.
Has he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This copper guy's getting to me.
Well, hey, I wanted to give you a quick shout-out to one of your former football and wrestling standouts at Centennial. Lane Prusiner was named to the USA Rugby Men's Under 20 team earlier this week. You know, that was quite an honor for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, Lane's another great athlete. You know, I remember when he started, I texted him and congratulated him, and I razzed him when he's in 8th, 9th grade playing rugby in 10th grade. I was like, I just made fun of him, you know, kind of like, he's not the sport, but we have quite a few kids, you know, that are going the rugby route, and it's kind of feed into wrestling and football hand in hand, like wrestling and football do with each other.
Sure.
And Lane's an exceptional rugby player. I've seen him play a couple times, seen him on video, and that is a hell of an honor.
Do you know much about that sport? I mean, do you understand the game the way?
You know, UNI has a big rugby club, and I remember I got asked to be a prop one night in a bar, and I was thinking about doing it, and Terry Allen got wind of it and put a stop to it.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
One of the greatest rugby players from Macon
is
Cliff Fairchild.
Easy.
Well, Lane was telling me how he plays the loose head prop position, which basically sounds like he's in the middle of the scrum and he just gets the crap beaten out of him, you know, a lot of the time. That doesn't sound like too much fun, but I'm sure he delivers, you know, his share of punishment too, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. You know, like I said, it goes back to Lane was exceptional athlete. He was a great – I can't speak for offense, but he was a great, great defensive lineman, played defense tackle for us. I remember that his senior year we beat Dowling. He had a game of his career that night against Dowling, a defensive tackle.
Yep, I remember that. Well, Mike, thanks for coming in. Happy belated birthday, by the way.
Yep, just another day. Just another day.
Well, speaking of birthdays, I want to give a quick shout-out to my neighbor, Lori Paterno. It's her birthday today as well, so happy birthday to Lori. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time homebuyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending in the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 if you have any questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs. Well, my next guest is a well-known business owner here in Ankeny, especially on the north side. He's the owner of Blimpy Subs, one of our most loyal advertisers at Ankeny Fanatic. He's Bill Morris. Bill, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Thanks a lot, Dan. I appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. Well, you brought me a drink here. What is this?
This is Big Wave Kona Brewing. We were down in Kona when this whole pandemic broke out, and I guess if we were going to get stuck somewhere, Kona would have been the place. So I kind of fell in love with this beer, and then my Busch Light, of course. But this is good stuff. And if anybody can ever make it to Kona, Hawaii, that is the place to go.
Oh, that is good. Yeah, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii. I'm going to have to try to make it out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Bill, I know you're a huge sports fan. How much have you been missing sports here these last 2 months?
Oh, I tell you what, the baseball, the Cubs, the most exciting thing is been the draft, and that's not even a competition. So I really miss seeing the kids play. I got three of them. It's difficult. I know that the track guys miss their season. That breaks my heart. I think Nate Smith had a great team, and I know Ankeny has some tremendous athletes, and I really think those were both top five finishers at state. And I'm very, very close with the senior class of boys. Both sides, there's definitely more on the north side that I'm close with, but a handful of the south kids, the Bayer kid I coached when he was young in football, and then, you know, not being able to see Avery Gates run and some of those guys. I really think they had a really nice shot of placing very high at state, both teams, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, today would have been the day of the state qualifying meet for track, and boy, what a beautiful day this would have been for that, huh?
Yeah, it's heartbreaking for these kids.
Well, in the last week or so, I've heard quite a bit of discussion about high school baseball and softball and whether or not those seasons are going to be held. Of course, your son, Trey, is a pitcher for Centennial, so I'm sure you're hoping that the Jaguars will be able to play. You know, what's your gut feeling on this, though? Do you think they'll be able to?
You know, I think the governor's going to give them the green light, but I don't know about the associations. That scares me, and I get it. I would love to see them play, and I think there's a way. But I get that, you know, there's coaches, there's bus drivers, there's people with pre-existing conditions that we gotta be careful with. Umpires, we gotta think of those things. And I really didn't think about that stuff because I'm very, you know, want my kids to play both softball and baseball, and I really never thought of that. I kind of had my own little bubble that I was thinking about, and you know, when somebody brings up the people involved, I do get it, but I still think there's a way. I really do.
Well, I did hear the governor say the other day that, you know, they're hoping to maybe make an announcement next week, and they have been talking about it. So, I mean, did that make you a little more optimistic?
From what the governor's saying, I'm very optimistic, but I'm cautiously optimistic because I know that it's not necessarily her decision.
Yeah, I saw that video of Jean Berger, the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union Executive Director, and, you know, she said that even if the high school associations, you know, are granted permission to play, you know, she said that they would make their own decisions about whether or not to. You know, I'm not sure if I can see that happening, though, where they would get permission to, and then they would decide not to, but I suppose they'll take everything into consideration.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that we got to, you know, be a little bit creative. The one thing that I can see happening, which I have a 12-year-old, too, and in a weird way, I could see the young kids playing and not the varsity kids, the U-SSSA, the club teams playing and not the varsity. And I think that'd be a travesty, to be honest with you.
Well, fortunately for your son, Trey, he's already committed to play for Iowa Central, right?
No, he's actually Ellsworth.
Ellsworth, okay,
yep,
that's
yep.
Right. So he knows that he'll eventually be able to play, you know, again, even if the season does get wiped out. But you still have to feel awfully bad for the seniors that don't get to play, especially the ones that aren't going to play in college.
Well, exactly. And, you know, they're a tight-knit group. And it's not just them, it's everybody. I mean, I know a lot of these kids around the state that, you know, this is my favorite time of my life was when I was a senior, you know, the baseball, the football, all that stuff. And when you get that kind of taken away from you, that's just heartbreaking.
Well, let's assume for the sake of argument that there is going to be a baseball season, even if it's a shortened one. You know, do you like the prospects for Centennial?
Yeah, I do. I think that, you know, I think last year with the way that it ended, we had a tough draw with Southeast Polk. I think we had like three or four bad innings all year last year. And unfortunately, the first inning of the game to get into state was one of our bad innings. So we have a lot of great leadership coming back. We have some tremendous players, but I've heard a rumor that, you know, maybe they'll just do conference play when they do come back. And I tell you what, that conference is not, that's a tough draw there.
Well, no, Ankeny has some high hopes as well as they return the bulk of their squad that made it to the state tournament last year. And I imagine they'll be looking forward to some revenge after losing all four games to the Jags last year.
Yeah, you know, I said that at the end of the year. It's like, okay, would you rather beat your rival 4 out of 4 or lose everyone and go to state? You know, that's what they did. So you never want to lose to your crosstown rival, which we have a ton of respect for, and they have a tremendous amount of talent. But being able to play down at state, you know, that's something special that they got to do too. So
for sure. Well, I know you followed Brody Breck's career closely, and you're obviously a big football baseball guy. Brody recently verbally committed to Iowa, and he's planning to play both sports for the Hawkeyes. Now, I've talked to a few different people about his future, and one guy told me that he'll never play baseball for Iowa because he's going to focus on football. But another guy thinks that he'll get picked in the MLB draft next year, and they'll never even go to Iowa. You know, how do you see his future unfolding?
Wow, that's a great question. I think Brody can do whatever he wants to be honest with you. If if I had a sophomore son that was throwing, you know, mid 90s, you know, there you look at how your future is going to play out. The Major League Baseball draft is not even close to being out of the question for him. He's got an electric arm, and I don't think that he's necessarily put a ton of time in the baseball because he does both. So if he really honed in on one thing, especially pitching, holy cow, he has a tremendous upside when it comes to throwing, and it's all natural for him. I think that if he, you know, put that time in pitching, that he would be a top two round draft pick. I mean, he just comes out of the womb throwing 96 miles an hour, you know. It's pretty and I heard he's touched 96, and that's almost unfair.
That's crazy. Yeah. Well, Bill, let's talk about Blimpy a little bit. First of all, I want to commend you because I know you've been providing meals to some of the older citizens in our community during this pandemic. You know, that's a wonderful thing that you've been doing, so I want to thank you for that. My son and I actually stopped by the other night to pick up a couple of sandwiches. I really like your chicken cheddar bacon ranch. Is that one of your more popular subs?
Yeah, that's definitely a popular one. We, you know, to be honest with you, it's kind of everything. It's a mixed bag. We have some great cold deli sandwiches that, you know, kind of old school stuff that that people like, and then you know, the hot ones. We're a little underrated, to be honest with you. We got all these Subways in town that you know, everybody hears about, and we knock them out of the ballpark, to be honest with you. But yeah, I'm also very biased.
It should be. Well, as far as your business goes, you know, how has COVID-19 affected you guys? Have you seen a drop off in business?
Well, this is kind of crazy, but to be honest with you, we've had such great support with the great people of Ankeny. A lot of the people that we know, you guys did a great thing for us, mentioned us, and we had a lot of people that never tried us before that, you know, I sponsored the golf tournament, and people that's like, you know what, I'm going to give them a chance, and they've been back. A lot of the kids that I coach, their families are coming in a lot. I wish I could name them all because we've been so blessed with living here, and then also building the relationships with the kids and the sports teams and the families. I just can't thank them enough. And this really shows how great this town really is.
Well, of course, a lot of your business, you know, comes from drive-through and takeout orders, and you've been fortunate. You've still been able to do that, so that's probably helped, hasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we've had to change our business model a lot. We do a lot more of that where before we would probably have about 60% sitting inside. Now we, you know, we're 100% either carry out or delivery or drive through, or, you know, we've had to change a lot of our business model, but it's been a good thing. We've adapted. We're spending a lot of family time between the three kids and my wife. We, for 3 or 4 weeks there, we were going home, going to work, going home, going to work. And it was, it made us stronger. You know, we would, whenever we would get together and, you know, play a game or cards or something, it was real, real tense there for a while. The kids, we needed a break from each other. But you know what? It's built us stronger as a family.
Well, it's good to hear. Well, of course, a lot of places have had to, like, lay off or furlough employees. Have you been able to keep all your employees?
Yeah. You know, I have a lot of high school kids, so they weren't really hurting to begin with. But we've been able to keep the majority. And we'll now, starting tomorrow, we'll start looking at seeing how business goes from there on out and add the two or three that we haven't had back. So we've been very blessed with that.
Well, it's been tough for a lot of people. I was just reading today on Twitter that there's some small town newspapers in southern Iowa that are really struggling that might end up folding. It was a tough on the newspaper business already anyway. And with this thing going on, there's going to be some that aren't going to survive. And yeah, it's just really sad to see.
Yeah. And that's with a lot of businesses that people don't even know about. I mean, there's just, everybody's been affected by this, and you just hope that they can come out the other end, you know, positive somehow.
Well, hopefully things will be back to normal soon, you know, but I don't know if that's going to be the case or not. From what you know and have seen, you know, do you think there are going to be a lot of, you know, like restaurants and bars in the area that won't be reopening after the crisis ends?
I think there's a lot of question marks for a lot of the businesses that just don't know exactly how to handle the situation that we've been dealt. So I think that the businesses that are strong will kind of see how this next month goes and do the best they can. But the ones that were struggling to begin with, this might be an opportunity to either reinvent themselves or, you know, they might not come back. And you know, to be honest with you, Ankeny has been blessed with a ton of restaurants, maybe a few too many, who knows. But I think that the strong businesses will figure it out.
Sure.
There's a lot of good business owners in this town.
All right, Bill, thanks a lot for coming tonight. Appreciate it, and we'll have to do this again sometime.
You bet. Loved it. Thank you.
You bet.
Why don't you go home?
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Whether you're looking for your first home or refinancing your existing loan, Gershman Mortgage has an expert to assist you. They'll help you find the right mortgage to meet your personal needs. When you're buying your starter house, moving to a larger home, aging in place, or looking to refinance, Gershman Mortgage will be there every step of the way. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. We're going to finish up tonight with a little bit of a Rodcast episode. We got part of the normal crew here. Tony Rhodes, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Yep. And we're coming to you from Rod Brannon's office. Rod, how you doing?
I'm great. I played golf today. First time in 2 years, man. It was great being out in the sun.
Beautiful day, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Well, we are missing Brent Cameron tonight. He's been kind of preoccupied. His girlfriend, Nikki Gutnick, is in the hospital tonight dealing with some issues, and we want to give her the best tonight. We hope she gets out soon. So we're thinking about Nikki. Get well soon.
And Nikki,
shout out to Nikki.
Yeah, Nick, get well. Nick the Stick, we want you back. And, you know.
We can't have a deck party without you.
Yeah, someone's got to take care of Cameron.
For sure. Well, hey, we got a few things to talk about tonight. Rod, we got to begin with Deergate here. So let's talk about what happened the other night. Can you tell the story?
Well, it was, you know, a typical night at Shelter Insurance. I was leaving the office a little after 5 o'clock. And I was getting in my car, and I park on the east side of the building. And I saw something out of the corner of my eye, and I heard tires brake hard. And I heard a terrible crash. Now look over, and there's a young man in a Honda Civic.
It sounds like a Ray Stevens song.
It is. It is. They call it the Screak. Anyway.
I said, don't look, Ethel.
Yeah. And I couldn't see a car he hit. And I thought, oh, my God, I hope he didn't run over a bicycle. Listen, look, I didn't see one there. And he gets out of his car and says, you see that? See, I saw something. He goes, what was it? He goes, it was a deer. He goes, I slammed on my brakes, and it jumped over my car. I go, where'd it go? He goes, well, it's in the building. It jumped through a window that's probably – Mike, you're a construction guy. What's the size of that window, Mike? 20 by.
You're gonna have to text Mike the question.
36
inches tall, 24 by 36, and this big old buck jumps through it, and it's inside the building. I mean, it was unbelievable, and we had to call the police. And I'm not gonna lie. I think they had Paul Blart Mall Cop came out first. He was the.
Per Mar Ankeny?
No, the guy that does the animal control and stuff. It wasn't Scott Starr, and had the pickup, and he came up with the idea that he could open the door and throw rocks at it, and it would run out. That didn't work.
Didn't work, huh?
Yeah, actually, the landlord, I called him, Bill Gardner's his name. You know, he had a couple good athletes that played here, too, and he called me a little later and goes, Rod, where are all these rocks inside of it? And he goes, the animal control guy thought he could throw rocks and shoot it out. But unfortunately, the deer was beat up pretty bad. And they were able to get it out. And I think it's being processed. I think Blimpy's coming up with a new venison line. You know, I'm not sure. I think it's going to be a venison line over at Blimpy Subs. You know, our friends at Blimpy, I played golf today and I had to come in the office and I returned some calls, but I was starving, so I stopped and I got my ultimate club that I always get from Bill over there, and it was great with my potato chips.
Get some shaved buck ice.
I didn't get any shaved ice tonight, but it was great, and they treated me well. But I just have never within a million years think I would see a deer jump through a window in the middle of town. You know, it was crazy.
Well, I've seen some deer out in this side of town before. I know I was out with my dog one night. It's been a few years ago, but just taking the dog out at night, and this deer was just jumping down the street, down 69, coming towards our place, you know, just in the middle of the street. And of course, there wasn't any traffic at that time. But there are some out here. So do you handle the insurance for the office next door?
I don't have it, but the office next door was it's vacant because the girl had moved out. It was a beauty salon, and they were redoing it. And I told Bill, I says, well, looks like your carrier is going to be able to pay for all your remodeling now, because it put holes in the wall and all kinds of stuff.
So I'm curious. Did the guy that came from animal control, did he have an explanation of what he thought was going on? Like why the deer would like this time of year, I don't think they're.
I think it just got startled and it was running, and the windows were open, the blinds were open, and because it's a former beauty salon, that whole wall is mirrors, and I'm not so sure that it didn't see the reflection in the mirror and think it was another deer or something up ahead, because I mean, look how we're in my office now. I'm looking at Tony. You look at that thing; it's 3 feet up in the air just to get to the window, you know, and it was. You know, it was pretty impressive. It's kind of like my dolphin jumping through that hoop of fire under the helmet, you know.
There you go. Well, Tony, let's talk about you a little bit. You've had some changes at work, I understand. So what's going on down there?
Yesterday we had to start wearing masks at work. So
let me stop you there. I mean, we're trying to gradually reopen the state, aren't we? So now we've decided that we need to – take more precautions?
And that's what troubled me a little bit. I might overreact a little bit. Maybe I didn't, but the timing is what I think has got everybody scratching their head a little bit. Because once you start that, then now you're kind of committed to be responsible for somebody deciding that it's okay not to worm anymore, and I think that's going to be tough to undo. Like, who's going to be the one who want to say, okay, now it's safe not to wear masks anymore at work? I mean, I just worry that this could go on for a while. And those that wear masks for a living, God bless you, because it's hard to communicate with people. They can't hear you as well. You're breathing your own. It's just not natural to be having a mask over your mouth, man. So I'm going up and down the hallways and, you know, I'm having to take my mask down a little bit to catch a breath. But, I mean, I'll adapt. I don't mind wearing it for short periods. But so, like, I want to be fair. Like, when I'm in my office, I don't have to wear it. It's just out when I'm amongst the people, the kids or other staff. So, yeah, I'm not a big. I didn't enjoy that new rule.
I don't want you to get in trouble or say anything you don't want to say. But you do think there's some politics involved here?
Well, you know, Dan. I don't know. Let the people figure that out. I don't know if the very day after the governor opens up the state, we get told that we need to wear masks at our county buildings that are not open to the public. That just have county essential workers working in them. I don't know what the motive was. Only those that made those decisions are. And I've been all along when we've asked these questions, I've just tried to trust the people that are making the decisions. Let them make them. But let's all be on the same page. If someone's getting all this information and saying let's try to this slow reopening, and then someone else is contradicting that, I mean what. I don't understand why we can't all be on the same page somewhat more than what we are right now.
Well, on the plus side, before this new directive, you said that if you went out of state, you'd have to wear a mask for 14 days. Well, now you can go to Pet Rock next week in Omaha, right? And you come back and you can still wear a mask, right?
That's true. I'm really excited about that, yeah. But I am interested in the Pet Rock, but I'm hearing that the price went up, Rod. Are we higher than 100 now? What do you got for me?
$100 a car.
All right. Someone told me it was higher than that. I don't know where I heard that. So it's So you have one person in a car, it's 100. Five people in a car, it's 100.
Yeah,
I got you.
Charged by the car.
And I know you talked about getting an RV. Do they allow RVs?
Well, I was going to get an RV because they weren't going to have restrooms open in there, but now they are. So
I still like the RV.
I like the RV too, but. I don't know. I don't know that answer because I didn't pursue it anymore because I just didn't think I would probably go over at that point with no restrooms and stuff. And now it looks like it's going to open up. I actually saw it today in Woolies had a post, when we reopen, what's the one band you'd like to see us have? And Jay Feifel did just happen to stop into my office. And couple of the people had put down the Struts. And, of course, there was a lot for
– that had to be Jay.
Yeah, there was a lot for Pet Rock. And, that Struts concert we were at, Dan, that was a big crowd.
Oh yeah, that was a fun time.
It was sold out actually. It was people were strutting there. It was pretty fun.
Sheena Easton.
Yeah.
Well, Pet Rock has never sold out in all fair. And I'm not sure they'd be wanting to shoot for any kind of sellout right now. No. Anyway, I don't know what a sellout would look like. Is that half the amount of people that used to be or what?
But yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe it was a little more of a Bob Seger strut, to be honest.
I'd like to see the Simon Estes or whatever. Is that even open this year or is it still Brenton?
I think it's Brenton still.
So maybe that'd be a good starting versus an inside venue like Woolies.
I agree, but I'm sure the people at Woolies are trying to get people back in there because, you know, they've got to survive.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm so desperate for live music though that I'm highly considering going over to Omaha for.
Well, I was just gonna say, how starved are we that we would drive to Omaha for a drive-in concert, basically?
Yeah.
I mean.
Exactly.
Well, it's.
I mean, not everybody's that into live music, but I think it's great.
Yeah, I miss it. I figured out I've got close to $5,000 worth of outstanding tickets for concerts that I'm, you know, don't know if I'm going to be able to go to or not. You know, I mean, with Elton taking $3,500 of it, you know, that was kind of a big one for me. But
now, has Elton rescheduled that date for Des Moines, or is it just going to be sometime?
No, it's going to be in 2021.
But. Yeah, I mean, on those tickets, you're just holding those tickets for the next concert, right? Because they're going to honor them. So, I mean, you're fine there.
Oh, I'm fine. Yeah, it's just a lot of money just to have out of your pocket. You know?
Oh, I understand.
You know,
I'm getting
a lot of people ask, you know, what I spend on concerts in a year, and it's more than I spend on a lot of things, but I get enjoyment from it. That and sporting events, I like to be entertained, you know. That's why I like these podcasts Dan does. They entertain me. I've been tuning in ever since they came up with them, you know.
And now, did you tell all the broadcasters tonight to be listening?
I'm going to put a shout out, you know, and a lot of people don't realize that we're in my office now, and there's a lot of real serious stuff that goes on in here. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of awesomeness in this room. We got Tony Rhodes, Class 81. We got Dan Holm, Class 83. We got Jay Feifeld, Class 81. Just he came in. Jay's dressed in some bike attire. He must be biking up
here
tonight.
He's biking, yeah.
We got Bill Morris from someplace in in Nebraska. We got Dobish from the Dakotas. We got Kiss from Urbandale. We got the legend Mike Fontana. And then you know, the person that if Dan comes up with the greatest athlete team, all-around athlete, without a doubt, the best self-proclaimed athlete in this room has got to be Brent Cameron because I hear about it all the time about how great he was.
You're just asking for trouble.
No, but
you know what? Wait.
Now here we go. See, we'll this get, is we'll I get, knew.
We have a special guest appearance here from Brent Cameron.
Yeah, I'm taking Rod's headphones because we have a words per minute thing right now, and Tony, you're falling behind.
No kidding.
I know it's shocking. Get off me, Rod. By the way, Iowa Insurance Consultants was open all day. We weren't golfing today.
Back to Rod.
Why
Rod's putting on his headphones, I want to talk about three people in this room that were at the hottest wedding that ever took place, Mike Fontana's wedding in Las Vegas, where that's the first time I've ever seen the person doing the wedding say, "Hey, groom, can you put your phone away?" I don't know. Was it Elvis? I know. That's what I'm saying. There's three of us. That was a hot day, was it not?
35 degrees. What's the date on that? What's the date of your anniversary? What is it?
What year was that? 20 13. Was it? Oh. No.
June, July 5th.
July. Okay. Hey. Yeah, I got married there in August. Could have been really hot, but it actually rained in Vegas. You expect it to rain in Vegas in August? I don't know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No.
Uh-oh.
We had uh-oh.
Mike Fontana moving back in.
I'm glad they keep taking Rod there.
I love Rod. Vegas is the only place you can wait in line to get a marriage license on the 4th of July. I was probably 54 people deep getting a marriage license on the 4th of July. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got married in Little White Chapel, remember?
Yes.
Bill Morris was my ring bearer.
That was a cool thing.
He walked up the aisle on his knees.
And back to Rod they go.
You know, I'll tell you, the first time Mike Fontana ever went to Vegas was a classic, because Bill Morris came out too, and I talked him into coming out because it snowed in April and
May 1st
we weren't going to have any baseball going on, and so I had this condo at the Hilton, and they came down and got them rooms, and I think that's when Mike got to see me. Mike, remember when you saw me at the kiosk machine? I was getting my teeth whitened.
I heard about that story.
It was great.
Nobody could find you, and you were, yeah.
I was there getting my teeth. One of those else, yeah.
That's, if everyone has the Rod emoji on their phone, if they just find it, it's that one with the white teeth.
Mike Fontana back here.
My first time in Vegas, our friends just was all casinos, and Rod and I were like trying to budget. So we walked around the malls. I went to this hat store. I was like, where's Waldo? Where's Waldo?
Oh, yeah.
Where's Rod? couldn't find him. And, you know, you walk in the middle of the malls, there's like these, you know, they sell these things at booths, you know, like sunglasses or, you know, phone cases or wallets. Well, they had a teeth whitening station. I could not find Rod for the life of me. I look over. He's like, Poons, I'm over here. He's got this blue light shining in his face. He's got his shelter insurance smile.
That's what I'm talking about. That's an emoji.
Hey, he was getting his teeth whitened in Vegas.
Yeah. Well, that's everybody
like,
goes
can't
there for
you do this in Des Moines?
No. back to Rod.
Oh, it was a great day. You know, we had a lot of fun and told some stories, went to the piano bar, and it was fun. You know, we were even able to bet on baseball because there was still baseball going on, Major League Baseball then. You know, that's what I'm missing. I mean, right now I'd give. You could have the Detroit Tigers play the Marlins right now live, and it'd be the highest rated baseball game ever if it was on tomorrow.
It would.
Yeah.
Tony, you probably been to Vegas for a long time, have you? I know you stopped there one time. I remember that story.
I've been there two times. Once on the way back from the Rose Bowl for like 6 hours, and we walked the Strip, and then the other one for Mike's wedding. I don't have any idea why I don't go out there more often, but. It's a fun city.
Yeah. Well, my wife and I were there in January, and part of the trip deal, that we got a good package deal, was you had to go listen to this, you know, timeshare presentation. They try to get you to – it's basically like you join this club and you get good deals and all these vacations or whatever, but after what's happened now, it's like who knows when you can travel again. And yeah. So, I mean, it was kind of a weird deal. We didn't sign up for it, but had to sit through this long presentation.
Yeah. I think everybody's been maybe – not everybody, but a lot of people have been to one of those in their lives. I've been to one of those in Florida. Yeah.
Well, I felt bad for this one couple because we heard them talking. They actually were going to, like, take out a loan to do this. Oh. And now, man, what bad timing. But
well, actually, I have two of them.
You do?
Yeah, I've got a Marriott and a Hilton, so the one in Vegas. But I bought all mine resales. And for us, we use the heck out of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for it works for with what I do, it works. It works. It just works. It's ideal. But I bought mine for 10 cents on the dollar, you know.
Was this, though, through one of those presentations or did
no,
you do
no,
that?
No, no, no.
Yeah, because I'm talking about those presentations.
Oh, I've sat through them. I can sit through anything and get the stuff. But then I sat through one. I was going to do one. And then I found out that I could buy them resale. And the two I own a Hilton Grand Vacation Club in Marco Island, Florida, and I have one in I got a Marriott in Hilton Head Island. It's great, but you know it's I use it for, like, you know, sporting things and going to, you know, that stuff, but it's they're something else, Dan. If you sat through one of those and didn't buy, but you just look at those people and I'm just like, oh man,
they put on the hard sell, man.
Oh, they're good.
And Bill and Mike and I went to there was New York, it was a piano bar. It was like a dueling piano, and that was a great time.
The bar at Times Square right there. It's my favorite. It's my favorite bar there.
The bourbon. What is the other bar, Bill?
Bourbon Room.
And he bought a all glass of, well, we had what? A whole bottle of what? Cranapple orange juice and what was the other one? Vodka. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, that was a good time. Yeah. And there's a guy walking and playing all 80s music, which is, you know, those guys like that. I don't, I'm not really that into 80s music. Oh, yeah, I am. And some guy walking around pretending like he was from the 80s, like an MTV host, and it was a good time. Yeah, it was a really good time.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys, let's finish up here with a little football talk.
Let's do.
We don't know if Major League Baseball is going to get started here anytime soon, but let's move on to the fall with college football. I heard today on the radio that Chris Hassel was talking on the Fanatic show, and he said that Dennis Dodd was predicting that only like a 35% chance that we'll have a college football season, you know, starting at the normal time, or even if it starts late, only a 35% chance. Do you think that's the right percentage?
That sounds about right. Are you talking about start like having a season or starting on time?
Sorry. Just having a season at all.
Yeah, I think having a season is above 50%. Starting on time may be below 50%, but I mean, they're still a ways away. So I think there's a lot of time for them to figure out what they need to do. The thing is, the players, how you can't social distance football. So as long as they can figure that out, I hopefully they can figure out the fan thing. And maybe it's just, you know, here's the thing. You got to wear a mask when you come to the game. If you don't want to wear a mask, then don't come to the game, or I don't know. But I think everyone's anxious to get back to some type of the old norm.
Well, Rod, what do you think they're going to do? Like, if some states are open in the fall but others aren't, I mean, how can they have a season?
I don't have any idea. I know that the Florida governor said that all the California teams are welcome there, but it was just a political, you know, ploy by him to, you know, get a little jab in because they're open for business, you know, in Florida. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've got tickets right now that I've bought for the Dolphins-Raiders game. My son turns 21 in September, and Miami either plays the 26th or 27th of December, and I'm just was so excited about going to that new Raiders stadium in Vegas, going back to Vegas again and taking my son. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, the thing about all this COVID that I tell people is, you know, I'm worried about it, but I'm ready to go out and take a little bit of a chance too. But I don't know who to believe. I mean, I don't really know what the truth is, and I don't think anybody does because it's just.
Well, you hear so many different stories,
yeah.
So many different opinions, but.
You know, but speaking of like sports, it's kind of, I'll just throw this out to all you Fanaticers out there. You
not,
know,
not Rodcasters.
No, this is the Fanaticers because of two men in this room right now. F.J. Fifield and I think it's my daughter, Lorraine. Yeah, F.J. Fifield and Dan here. I purchased a bike. I'm having it all tuned up now. So we're gonna get Tony Rhodes. We're gonna have the Ankeny Fanatic bike team. And I just came up with that idea now, and I think we're gonna roll with it. Get it, Jay? We're gonna roll with it. And
do we have to wear masks?
Helmets.
Okay.
We wear helmets.
All right.
And I think
you can wear a mask if you want.
I bet you can.
I heard that.
I just want to know if you had to.
I heard that. Is it kind of a drinking sport?
Well, as I understand it, there's some bars along the trail where you can stop and have a drink if you want. So I may have done that a couple times.
Which is just perfect for you, Tony.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm
just me, yeah.
Yeah. When I said I got my bike, some of my friends, like maybe Rick Dobish in here tonight, may have. Ask me if I got a tandem. I mean, you know, a little tandem bike there, you know. Oh. But no, it's. That'd be kind of fun.
Back to the football. Not taken away from your bike story. I have two questions. Is that? And maybe I've asked you this before. Is the Vegas thing an indoor?
Yes.
Right. Can it open?
I don't know that answer.
All right. Second, California. Is that just high school though, or is that? Are they saying college can't play?
And pros, right now.
And pros.
Yeah,
they're saying no, nothing.
That's what I'm reading right now.
Well, I know the college schools can't. They're going to be online classes in the fall, so I don't see how the colleges can play. I don't know about the pros, but
okay. Well, okay. Because for some reason I was thinking it was just the high school level.
Really
but that would really I mean, there's obviously a lot of colleges in California, so that would really, again, play all the, yeah, that's a tough one.
It won't really affect the Chargers much, though, because they don't, I hate to say it, they don't have much of a home field advantage.
Yeah, that'll just affect people that go there for, well, people say that people fly in, but, you know, it's just a bunch of people that live in that area that have moved there over. When they say teams travel well, what it really means is a lot of people in that area that already live in that area just go to the games, like Steeler fans or Cub fans or whatever, you know. But anyway.
I do think that the Steelers are probably one of the teams that I see have the most away fans of games.
I mean, they have a strong tradition.
Yeah.
Well, Mike Fontana wants to chime in here with something. Oh. Go ahead.
We're going to travel. You hear me?
Yeah.
We're going to travel well. Mike Swatke called us. Let's travel the Clipper.
Oh, the Clipper. Okay.
Oh, is that open tonight? Is that open tonight? And do they have a jukebox there?
I believe they do. I believe they do. I do want one more quick question before we shut down. I was just going to ask you, how's your brother handling this? Because I know the coaches are creatures of habit. You know, this has got to be tough on him.
I haven't touched base with him via phone lately. I've texted him. And actually, I kind of got an update from him today, and he says they're still a long ways away from making any decisions, but they will be making they being the NCAA will be making every effort possible to have a season, and that's for obvious reasons that, you know, that money wise and everything else. But I mean, money's a big driver behind that, so it's just a matter of what's that going to look like? When's it going to start? I got to wonder, you know, you don't start on time, but then you're saying there's going to be another swarm of corona whenever in the fall, winter. So, I mean, you wait too long. And, I mean, I don't know what – again, that's where the smarter people make all those decisions, not me. But, yeah, I imagine Vicky, his wife, is ready for him to be – back at practice.
I'll bet. I haven't followed Arizona. Have they had a lot of outbreaks down there? Or?
No, not that I'm I haven't followed them well either, but I don't think they've had a. I haven't seen it on the news that they've been a hot spot, so to speak. I mean, hell, we live in a hot spot right now, right? Polk County. But not that I'm aware of.
I'm going to be honest. I'd be more scared of rattlesnakes than big old spiders in Arizona than I am COVID right now.
He has killed a a rattlesnake in his yard, says has not seen a scorpion yet. There's an update for you, Dan.
There you go. All right. Well, let's close this thing down. Thanks a lot for coming in again, guys, tonight. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. Yep.
All right. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you'd like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at Mike Stanbro, that's STANBROUGH, @iowarealty.com. Come back soon for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.